Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So much reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line as to what Joshy should do about UPS delivering his package to the wrong door, him being aware of it, letting the neighbor know it was a missed delivery. The neighbor took the box inside. The neighbor has not responded to calls. The neighbor has not responded to the notes that UPS has left. What should Joshy do? Now, it has been made square by UPS. They did refund the cost of the item. But from a principal standpoint, Joshy is asking our loyal listeners what he should do. And so we take that question to our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. Do you have any suggestions for our friend, Josh DiMaggio?
Yeah, tough luck. Paula loves her new sandals.
Okay. Didn't realize you guys are renting out a house over in Brewers Hill.
Well, we're always looking for rental properties where we could steal other people's shipments. So it's worked out pretty well for us. How many more times are you willing to reach out? Are you sure that they're home?
Yes.
Like, are you sure they didn't get the delivery and then like left for a week in the Bahamas?
So there was three attempts made in three consecutive days by UPS, which were unanswered. But they do leave the sticky notes on the door of, hey, we've got something going on here. If you could respond, that would be great. And all those make it inside, and no response has been given. There's been four total notes between us and UPS left. We were only once. I haven't gone back there after the first one, where we left our address and phone number to be contacted and to come pick it up.
Hmm. Yeah, and you're not willing to have this elevated. I heard some of the responses. You're not elevated to the point where you would like to get the Milwaukee Police Department involved.
No, I'm anti that.
What would the package have to have been to be enough for you to say, okay, I'm calling the cops?
That's a good question, because I don't know if something's delivered on your porch and you bring it inside, how liable are you for like that total amount? Like, where does UPS elevate that versus me elevating that? I don't know.
Right. We should call David Gruber and ask him. I think you've handled this as best you can. I respect your restraint, but this one, I have to be honest, I am a principal of the thing guy. I would be probably ringing the doorbell every day until I got my package. I don't think I would have the restraint that you've shown. So kudos to you, buddy.
Jason, chances of a Rasul Douglas return?
I don't know. Apparently, we've got a GoFundMe going where everybody donates $2.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't spend a whole lot of time on Twitter anymore, but I did see him responding to some folks, and I don't know how much they've raised at this point. I think there's probably more worthwhile charitable causes, but nevertheless, there has been apparently an effort among fans. My understanding, and the reason why he's still available, I know he went and visited the Seahawks, but my understanding is he's not as fast as he once was, and speed was not his game previously. Now, again, I personally believe that veteran players who have the savvy and wherewithal to make up for maybe their shortcomings as they get older are still extremely valuable. So I'm on board. But again, if I was in charge, Jordy Nelson would still be starting a wide receiver. So take that for what it's worth.
Jason, last week when you joined the Homer Hour, you were talking about the idea of just about everybody being replaceable. And, you know, kind of goes back to the idea of, you know, they were willing to walk away from Devontae Adams, despite him being an all-pro wide receiver and him still being productive in the years following in his time out in Las Vegas. Is that something they've done on purpose? Or is that just they haven't they've drafted some good players, some starting caliber players, they haven't drafted that truly irreplaceable guy.
Yeah, I think it's both, right, Gabe? I mean, first of all, I do think philosophically, and look, I know, you know, you guys are talking about what it's going to take for them to win a Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff. I think philosophically, I think Goody and LaFleur, they like young players. They like, you know, first of all, guys that are, especially in the case of young players, who do have drawbacks, right? Like, they can come in, you know, especially in this era of NIL and the transfer portal and everybody telling them how great they are. They can come in entitled or believing that they're owed something. But I think that they like, you know, young guys that haven't proven anything, so they can't be super diva-ish, for one. I think, two, you know, if you go back and read Rob Domofsky's story about Goody's 3 to 5 year plan, I think it's pretty evident that Goody really does believe that in this concept, which, you know, I remember him saying a couple of years ago when I was trying to get him to kind of explain the philosophy of having such young teams and playing young guys, was that, you know, you play them early and you live with the growing pains because they come out on the other side as much better players. And that was undeniably true in 2023, right, with the second half of the season. But I really do think that their philosophy is, all right, we're gonna draft and replace. We're not going to pay anybody unless they are really, really, truly special and deserving. And we believe that we're going to get more bites of the apple this way. We believe that we have as good of, if not the best, scouting department in the league. So we think we're going to make the right pick in virtually every draft. And we believe that if we keep chopping at it that way, we are going to end up with a team that is going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know if I agree, but I think that's the philosophy. So, yeah, I think you have to be in the current age of the Green Bay Packers, you have to be exceedingly special to be able to get even a second contract, much less a third. And, you know, the Zach Tom thing, you know, I know Goody said with Cheesehead TV that they want to get an extension done. That's great. Great to hear. You should let your offensive line coach and your offensive coordinator know that those are in your plans because they're working off the previous idea that no one is irreplaceable and that he could even lose his starting job this season. So I don't know if that was them misspeaking earlier this offseason or what, or that was negotiating ploy. But the bottom line is that I'm not sure anyone to this point has shown themselves to be irreplaceable. And if Zach Tom gets a new deal, great. That's one guy that's proven that he's earned it.
Jason, what's your best guess about what that new deal would look like, money-wise?
Well, I numbers-wise, I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be south of, obviously, Penei Sewell. But I would say this. It'll be structured the way they seem to be structuring all these contracts, which, again, you know, look, Russ Ball and Brian Gutekunst don't need my blessing to structure contracts the way they have. But I can't remember if I talked about this with you or on one of our other shows, but the Jair Alexander extension and the Elgton Jenkins extension had one thing in common. Neither one of them had a roster bonus due in March of this year. And in both instances, that would have triggered decisions that would have prevented the protracted Jair Alexander saga and would have required the Packers to figure something out with Elgton Jenkins. You put roster bonuses that are due the third day of the league year into these contracts because it forces you to decide. And if it's a guy that you think is a really good football player and you don't have any qualms about him at all, you simply pay it and you convert it to a signing bonus so you can spread out the cap charge. If you are on the fence with that player, option two, then you negotiate maybe a different number or you do a restructure that he still gets some guaranteed money, but you don't necessarily commit that big, like, let's say, $8 million roster bonus. Or C, you decide this guy's not good enough and we're going to move on from him. And in neither one of those cases was one of those placed in the contract. So I guess the only thing I can say about a potential Zach Tom extension is I doubt that they'll put one of those in there, because I think what they really like, I mean, even if you look at Josh Jacobs' contract, and we all think the world of Josh Jacobs, right? I mean, he was fantastic last year. His contract is essentially a two-year deal with team options to decide whether or not they want to keep him, because they're structured in a way that they're going to have to change his base salaries because they're balloon payments, and they're going to have to, you know, take that and make it a signing or a roster bonus or a signing bonus and spread it out. Because I think, again, part of the philosophy here, if you look at all these contracts, is everybody's on a two-year deal. I think Aaron Banks is another example. But everybody's basically on a two-year deal, and then we'll decide whether or not we want to get to year three with you.
Jason, we were talking about Christian Watson yesterday, and I think he's shown enough to keep him around, and I don't think he's going to be uber expensive. Would Rashad Bateman be a good comp? Because he just signed a deal, Gabe, what, 12 mm-hmm. average?
Yeah, just a little 12 over 12.
Average?
Yeah, look, I'm a Christian Watson stan. I like everything about him. I know we've talked about this before. Like, I really like the way he carries himself. It does stand in contrast to some of the stuff his dad does on social media. My concern with him, and again, I'm not an expert. I have not talked to him extensively, but I do worry that he's going to push, because it looks like he's pushing the envelope on this, mm-hmm. right, in a huge way. And I saw the video that he posted the other day. I mean, he's starting to gently cut when he's running now, right? Not super hard cuts, but mm-hmm. he's definitely cutting, which when we saw him at the offseason program, he was only running straight line. You know, I was using TJ Hockenson's timeline, who tore his ACL around the same time for the Vikings and came back last November. Christian Watson, I'm not a doctor, but it looks like he is on an accelerated timeline. My concern is, given his history and the fine tuning that his body requires to be running like a Lamborghini, I hope they still take, as Mike McCarthy would say, the high side of caution with how they approach him, because I agree. I think he's done enough that if you can keep him on a reduced extension because of the injury, mm-hmm. kind of like Tausch was put in position to have to do back in 2002, 2003, I think that would obviously benefit both sides. I don't know how long term that would be. Would it be 3 years? Would it be 2 years? Would he want to sign a 1 year deal? I don't know, but I will say this. I think he's the type of guy, if you're going to be a constantly young team, that the way he carries himself, the way he leads, I still can't get over how he was really the only one to stand up publicly for Romeo Doubs and support him. He's the kind of guy that I want on my football team.
Do you think the Packers would almost prefer that he's not available at the start of the season, given how crowded the wide receiver room is? And as the season goes along, like, roster spots just tend to open because of injuries. And now uh-huh. you don't have to make difficult decisions of, okay, do I want to keep this guy at even a different position group because they contribute on special teams? And the roster spot will just open itself based on the guys they've drafted and brought in free agency.
Gabe, are you suggesting that the team is rooting for his recovery to fit their timeline instead of his timeline?
I mean, that's how teams work, right?
I can't believe you would say such a thing. Jason, you understand it from the player standpoint, though, going into a contract year where he's a free agent, and you're like, I got to get out there. I got to get catches, yeah. yards, and touchdowns because I want to get paid.
Which is why contract, to your suggestion, yeah, Chu, would help alleviate some of that pressure of, okay, I've got uh-huh. some money coming.
Yeah.
I don't have to take any unnecessary risks.
Correct.
Yeah, totally agree. I think you guys would love Green Bay Packers organization run by Jason Wilde. I think you would really enjoy going 6-11 every year. But we would take care of Christian Watson because I believe him to be a valuable piece, mm-hmm. even though he's coming off an ACL. Look, Would you have money left over,
Jason, if you're still, I mean, Jordy, at this point, would be still pretty expensive. I don't know if you'd be able to afford to give the extension if you're keeping Jordy around.
Well, he was almost going to take that $2 million in 2018. I'm thinking he'd be coming back just because he likes me every year on the veteran minimum.
Fair enough.
And that would work out great. No, in all seriousness, I do think, you know, in their heart of hearts, they're probably rooting for Christian Watson. I could tell you he is extremely well-liked by the head coach and by the people in that building. I think if they're looking for the most convenient path for them success-wise and being able to keep him, it's he starts on PUP, he misses the first six games, it takes him a little while to get going, and then he plays really well for them down the stretch, mm-hmm. but not super, super, super well like that three-game stretch he had in 23, or 22 maybe it was. But they are where we were talking about him in the same sentence as Randy Moss. But, yeah, they want to be – I think they would like him to allow them to get him at a discount. And if that's the case, then him being ready, you know, in week four, while it would be a good thing for the team, it would not be a good thing necessarily for negotiations and keeping him at a reduced price.
And, Jason, we got a little bit of pushback yesterday in the talk and text line about these bozos think Christian Watson is going to be ready for week one, LOL, LOL. And it was like, no. We understand that that would be an accelerated recovery. But it looks like Christian Watson is interested in an accelerated recovery for all the reasons that Chewy has detailed already here today. And so that our question was, would it be better for everybody involved if he was not ready week one? That was the crux of that discussion, and that's why I also asked the guys, should the Packers extend Christian Watson right now as opposed to waiting? We really appreciate your insight. Great stuff. Have a great one, and we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah, let's be honest. When I'm on, there's two bozos on the show, not you and Gabe. It's me and the big fella.
That's why we bond, buddy.
If the commenter wants to go plural on bozos, he needs to save it for Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We are late, 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 White Rabbit, Alice in Wonderland. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
10 years ago, the Badger basketball team made a run in March that was magical. Wisconsin basketball made them believe. Coming up this Thursday, June 26th, join the stars from that squad as they remember and celebrate the 2015 run to Indy. Get your tickets and be part of this intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison with Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Josh Gosser, and of course, the Hall of Famer himself, Bo Ryan. UWHoops2015.com. That's UWHoops2015.com to get your tickets. Untold stories, memories from that season, and special guests are sure to make this night one you won't want to miss. It's Made 'em Believe, a celebration of the 2015 Badgers basketball team. June 26th at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets on sale at UWHoops2015.com.